Okay. Today's daf is neither daf Nun Zayin. We're on Nun Zayin. So the Mishnah had mentioned that the Kusim do not bury the Nephilim. They don't bury their stillborns. So Mares, my Dorish. What's the drasha of it from where did they learn this from? Which is interesting because I thought Kusim don't have drashas. But what my Dorish Rashi says, my Dorish Kusim she'ain kover mes Nephilim. They don't bury their Nephilim. The Pasuk says, Lo sasik vulreyecha asher gavlu rishonim benachlasecha. Should not move the border of your friend asher gavlu rishonim benachlasecha. So the Kusim learned, Kol, at least over here, in the Rashi points out, that we learned out from here is that we're talking about someone who's selling his ancestral burial grounds. But the Kusim had a different drasha. They said, Lo sasik vulreyecha asher gavlu rishonim benachlasecha, kol sheyesh lo nachla, whoever has a portion in the land, yesh lo gvul, has a gvul, means has a burial. Kosha Elo Nachla, whoever does not have a Nachla, Elo Gvul, does not have a burial spot. So since a Nephil doesn't have a Nachla because he's not alive, he doesn't get a burial. Question people ask, according to the Kusim, well, what about women? What about Kohanim and Nevi'im? They don't have a Nachla, so do they not have, you don't have to bury them? Like, what's the drasha? It's a strange Havamir for the drasha. Okay. The Gemara Mishnah then says, Ne'emanim, the Kusim are believed, Lomar Kavarnu. Right? They're believed to say, that right here where you're standing, be careful because we buried a Nephil over there. So be careful because you're gonna become tameh. Rashi says, "Nemani lomar kavana d'midi doraisa u'tumas hames." Because tumas hames is in doraisa. The problem with the kusim, whether or not we say that Gary Emes or Gary Rice, but whatever the story is, they did not accept the rabbanon. They did not accept Rashi's the rabbanon. They accept everything that was limudim midoraisa, but they didn't accept Rashi's the rabbanon. They didn't dine the rabbanon. So here, but Tumas HaMeis didn't arise, so they're Nemanim. So Gemara says, wait a second. They may be Nemanim for Tumas HaMeis, but HaLes Lehu V'Lifnei Yivel Lo Shizeh Mikshol. They don't hold the Pasuk of Lifnei Yivel Lo Shizeh Mikshol. What does it mean they don't hold the Pasuk? Rashi says, Lo Darshi Le B'machti Es Chaveru. They don't hold it that, they don't have an issue of causing their friend to sin. They don't care if they're going to cause us in Nevera. So why would we believe them if they say that something's buried here? They learned the pasuk of Lifnei Yivel Lo Shizeh Mikshol to be, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. They didn't learn it out for the idea of what we call Lifnei Yivel. So Amar Rabbi Avo, the reason why they believed here is Bekoin Omid Sham. Because it's a Kohen Kusi, who's telling you, which is a problem right away, how do you have a Kohen Kusi? What are the Kusim? They're Gerim. How do you have a Kohen Kusi? He's not a Kohen, he's a Ger, not a Kohen. Exactly, that's the question. So how do you have, so Kusi and let's say the real Jews. Yeah. So, Kusi is a Kohen, how's that possible? Okay, so Tosfos Yontif asked the question. So the Yontif gives a answer, he says, we're talking about the Kusi, the original Kusi, way back when, in the times of the Navi, they sent the Kohanim to teach them, and they got that Kohen got sucked into the Kusi environment, and so it's his children. So that's the Kohen. Is the Kohen who converted to be a Kusi?
Yeah, no. Could it be that Kohen marries a
So the daughter. So how does that work?
His son would be.
Same thing. The idea is a Kohen who joined the Kusi, movement. That's what it has to be. Okay. But Kohen Omed Shams. Rashi says, and therefore, if he's standing there, he himself is not going to become Tameh. So, because they're Machmed on themselves. So if he's dealing with Kohen Tameh, who? Well, maybe he's a Kohen Tameh. Wait, so he's a Kohen Tameh. We'll get to that in a second. So maybe Kohen Tameh. So the Gemara says, no, he can't be Kohen Tameh because the Nakat Shum Biyodin. He's holding Shum in his hand. And therefore, if he's a Kohen Tameh, it's a Din D'Oraisa, not to be Metameh Truma. So I have a Dilmar Truma Tamehi. Maybe it's Truma Tamehi, and that's why he's holding it there. The whole idea is that maybe him being there is not enough of a proof to show us that it's a clean environment. It's not the Ka'achel Minei. He's eating this Truma. So Rashi says, Truma Tamehi, Be'az Hara Litor, the Koshkein the Tameh. Truma Tamehi, you have a lav for a Torah Kohen to eat it. The kosher came the tameh, and kosher came for a tameh kohen to eat it. So since he's eating it, he's clearly the truma's tameh is tahor. He's tahor, and he's standing on his ground, and he's telling you that don't worry, nothing's buried here. Then we can believe him. So ihachi, if this is the case, this is the scenario you set up that it's a kohen kusi standing there eating kosher truma. Then what's the chiddush? Of course, we're believed. He's going to be believed. Maybe they don't know what the story is regarding a nefil. Rashi says, maybe you would have had a Haman think that they don't know what a nefil is. Maybe they think that this is really just Mayim Alma. And that's why they're telling you that it's kosher. And they made a mistake in that respect. Kamash Malan, I guess Kamash Malan, they don't make that mistake. One thing we pointed out, the first part of the Gemara says that we asked, well, you can believe them because it's a Kohen standing there. And they said, well, maybe the fact that it's a Kohen doesn't make a difference because maybe he's a Kohen Tamei. And that's why he's, therefore, what? So a Kohen Tamei is allowed to stand in a cemetery? Moses asks, Va'afa God the Tamei Sakvaros. You're not allowed to have a Kohen's Tamei, he's not allowed to become more Tamei. Just because we're all Tamei Mason these days. But Kohanim still don't go into the Beis HaKvaros. So Gemara is it, because the Tosfos continues, the time of the Fisha Moshe Tumolav, because he's adding Tumah. So the Gemara, the Tosfos answers, Kusim Les Luhu Hanach Memros. Changes Memros to Chumros, I think. The Kusim don't hold that. The Kusim don't hold that. The other answers I saw is that the Ramban says that maybe the day of, if you become Tamei on that day, you can't increase. So I Kohen comes Tumei Mesa on Tuesday. So on Tuesday, if he goes to the basic Kohen, it's no big deal because it's only every day. It's Mosif. There is a sheet of the Ravid that some point out that this may be a raya for. There is a sheet of the Ravid that says that Kohen can be Mosif Tumei. Therefore, a stam Kohen can't be Mosif Tumei. Because once you're tummy, it doesn't make a difference to keep going. There's no extra. He's not mushar. So they maybe bring this. We certainly know. Don't hold like that. But there's a little bit of understanding of where the rabbit's coming from this Gemara. Okay. Fine. Ne'emanim ala behema. Kusim or ne'emanim of behema to tell us whether or not this behema had a bechor or not. Whether this behema is this behema itself, I think, is a bechor or not. Ne'emanim ala behema. Okay, so Gemara says Ne'emanim behema, so therefore you don't have to worry about that this is a bechor or not. Well, they're telling me that this is not a bechor. Well, they don't hold it with me either, so maybe it is a bechor. Maybe they want me to maybe playing a joke on me. So no, because begozis veovid, they themselves are working the animal. So they themselves bechor is within their right. So if you see the kusi themselves working the animal, then you know it's not going to be a problem. So ihachi ma'ale meimer. So what's the chiddush? Maybe they don't understand the concept of tinuk, meaning maybe something else came out of the mother beforehand, and the kusiyim thought that that's considered a leda. So this animal is not a bechor, but they didn't realize that tinuk was not a leda, and therefore this animal is a bechor. Kamash malan, they are bekiyim. Rashi says that towards the bottom of the tinuk, v'hani kusiyim lab beki betinuk v'zimin de lo tanif. They're going to pot to the one that comes afterwards, and really they'll be wrong. Kamash Milan, they're not going to make that mistake. Ne'amanim al tziyun. They're ne'amanim al tziyun kvaros. Rashi says, l'tzayin, to make a marking by the kvaros. V'somchim aleim v'adim taharos hecha de lo tziyun. Therefore, you can deal. There's no tziyun. They didn't mark an area. You can be certain that there's no kevin there, and you can deal with your taharos in that area. So Gemara says, v'afagad de rabbanim who. But Siyun Kvaros only did the Rabbanon. So how they believed? Gemara says no, because Kevan Dixivi Mizhar Zahiri. Ein Achanami, it's not written in Torah in the five books of Moses, but it's written in Tanakh. It's written in Tanakh. Dixiv in Yecheskel, the Ra Etzim Adam Abana Etzim. It's not that they don't believe in Dinah the Rabbanon. They don't believe in anything that's not written. So Halacha Moshe Sinai, I guess they won't believe in. But if it's written in Nach, they'll believe in because they have a smach on the Pasuk. Okay. Aval ein ne'emanim lo al schachos, right? The Gemara, the Mishnah said, and not ne'emanim on the schachos, the pros, and on base of pras. So what's the schachos, right? So the Gemara says, ditnan, we have a Mishnah in Olos that says, elu hein schachos, this is the schachos, ilan ha-mesich ala aretz, it's a tree that's hanging over the ground. So what's the case? Rashi says, elu ilan ha-mesich ala aretz, hu samach ha-derech beis ha-kvaros. So you have a tree that's on the outskirts of the cemetery. So now it's getting very close. It's getting close to sunset. Let's say on Friday evening, you need to bury. So what they do is they bury the person. The kavi hasam. They buried the person right under that tree. The im ha'anafim muvdolim. Now the branches are all spread out. She'ena olal sholim. It's not a complete ol. The entire tree is not an ol. Only the branch that's directly on top of the kever is going to be an ol. the Ein Yodua Ezehu. You don't know under which branch the person was buried. Vakusi made al echad zeh, and the kusi is made. No, it's not under this branch. Einu Neman, he's not Neman. Why? The fisha einu chash al safik. Betola hatuma ba olal sheni misafik. The kusim are not believe. They don't. When it comes to sveikos, they don't care about sveikos. Right, but they don't believe in Lipna either. They have no problem causing you to sin. Yeah, but the gain is that they're causing you to sin. They're happy about that. That's what I think is going on. That they're that type of person. They enjoy making you do something wrong on your beliefs because they don't care about it. Okay, that's the Mesach al-Aretz. And then what's the pros? Right, Gemara continues. Pros, the snan. Avonim pros hayotzos min hageder. So I'm a Girsa issue with the word avonim. Pros means that you have, Rashi says, you have these big stones that come out from a fence. Rashi says, gedolos ubalotos min hageder. Mikavru tachas achas mehen. Again, if somebody was buried under one of these stones, the ein yodim tachas ezer mehen, ubal kus the ein, amiksosim shein tohoros, ein onem, amisum dlesveko lo chayish, betola safik b'acheros. He doesn't care about the safik. So you can't believe him if he tells you that under this that the person is buried under this stone, or maybe the person is buried on the other stone, and therefore you cannot. You're talking about the case of Messiah with Pitumo. Here, I don't know, and I'm assuming here that the Kusi has this maniacal attitude. That is the pros. And what's the base of pros that he's not believes? I'm a Rabbi. Base of pros is a base of pros, right? Right. Rashi pointed there are three types of bate pros. The case over here is Sada Shenechers Bokever. Yeah, definitely knew there was a kever in this field, and then someone plowed up the field. So the bones were dispersed all over the field. But Okbi Rabban al Svivos a kever mei amah. So we around the kever, 100 amas around the kever. Besopik tuma shedikta hamachreishas atmos megagal altan. That the chareisha, spit the bones all over the place. That's a base of pras. Now we learn a little halachas about the base of pras. Rabbi Yehuda bar Ami Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda Amar base of pras shenidash. Sorry, I skipped something. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel minafeach adam base of pras vaholich. What you can do is, if you want to walk through the base of pras, you can go down your hands and knees and blow the dirt and crawl across. As you blow the dirt, you see that there's no bones there. You can follow in that path to make sure there's no bust or an etzem kisor there. And Gemara continues. Rav Yehuda Barami mishmeid Rav Yehuda nidash tahor. If it was trampled already, Rashi says, "Veragli adam shehavaglayim nosim es ha'atzos esachakum." If it was trampled across, then you can walk across, I guess, that path. Utzna utana. We have a brayso that says, "Achorish beis akfaros." Right? If you plow in the beis akfaros, harezo osa beis apras. That creates a beis apras. Viat kama hu osa. How big do you have to worry about? So melo mana meya ama beis arba soyim. Rav Yosi omer chamesh. Is it 4 sign around or is it 5 sign around? That's the size of whether it's 100 by 100 area, or the way Ramban explains it, to make it 5 would be like 113 by 113 or something like that. That's how big you have to worry about. So more than asked, below Mahamni, are they not believed when it comes to a base of pras? Below Mahamni, Batanya, we have the following brisa. Sadesh of a kever. You have a sada that you knew there was a kever there, now you don't know where it is. So that's also considered base of pras. Rashi says in the second wide line, Gimel base of pras. According to the Gemara in Moed Katan, with the Brisa on Daf Hey in Moed Katan, there are three types of base of pras. One is a sadeh she'avi bo kever that we just mentioned. One is shenechres bo kever, the case that we had before where a kever was plowed. And the third one is sadeh buchim. So that's the three types. So this is a base of pras also. So what's the case you have here? Sadeh she'avi bo kever. The Brisa says neman kusi lomer ein sham kever. The kusi is believed to say that there is no kever there. He's believed. Well, we just said a kusi is not believed in base of pras. Here the Bryce says a kusi is believed in base of pras. And the Bryce explains, Lefisha Eno made Ella al Gufo Shel Kever. He's giving testimony on the fact of that grave itself, which is a Dindo Arisa. Right? Rashi says, She Eno made Ella al Gufo Shel Kever. The Kaven da Amri Ain Sham Kever Beruach Zeh. He says there's no Kever in this direction. Al Gufo Shel Kever who made. The Gufo Shel Kever do Arisa. Ubi do Arisa Mehemni. So Alma Nevamanim al Beis Apras, they should be believed in these cases, because all their testimony is about is whether there's a grave here or not, right? The Brisa there continued, Ilan Shehu Mesich Ala Aretz. If you have a tree that's that branches out over the ground, Neman Lomar ain't tachtav kever lefisha ain't made el al gufo shel kever. He's giving testimony about a grave, which is a din d'oraisa. So what's going on? So Amar Rav Yochanan, no, those cases where he's believed is b'mahalech uba al pnei kulo, because he's walking around the whole thing. Rashi says the kever al pnei kulo mahalech vadeb shitale dinit latum misham. Tuma is a din d'oraisa. He's walking around there, so you can believe him. But our Mishnah, ain't Neman. That's kagon she'enu mahalech al pnei kulo. He doesn't walk around the whole thing. She mishaya ruach echad. Hilchah kafil b'makom she'over enu nema mishum de'ilu safek lochaish. Then it comes to safek. He only walks at one part. There's a safek over there. For sveikos, we don't believe him. If he walks around the whole area, we would believe him. So Gemara says, wait a second. If he walks around the whole area, so what's the chiddush? So ihachi ma'ilu meimra. I'm not sure what this means. Ma'ilu teimra ritsua nafka kamash malan. There's a safek that maybe this there's a sada. He walked around the whole area, but there's another sort of piece of land that juts out, and therefore what Rashi says with suan nafkam in a sada v'nikras al shem sada zo v'sham hu toles makam atuma v'hacha aver misvekod l'svekol chayish. Maybe there's a suffix on that little ritzua kamash malan that there is no ritzua kamash malan that he's not neman. I'm not exactly sure what the issue is with the ritzua nafka. Okay, the Mishnah continued zeha klal, right? It said a klal, anything that the kusim are chashudim on, they are not Neman. But if they're not Nechshon on that, they are Neman. So Zeh Klal, in typical Babylonian fashion, Zeh Klal is always to include something new. So Zeh Klal, Lasuyi Mai, what's that coming to include? Lasuyi Tchumin, they include Tchumin. Rashi says, Ein Nenim Lomer Adkan Tchum Shabbos. They don't, I'm relieved to say, here the Tchum Shabbos ends, the Rabbanon. Because the Tchumin the Rabbanon, Tchum Shabbos, then the Rabbanon, the Tchumin Losvir Luhu, and they're also not Neman with Yayin Nesach. So Yayin Nesach creates a problem because Yayin Nesach is then the Raisa. If someone pours out wine libations to Avodah Zarah. So Rashi says, the aim kusi mapkin al maga over the chavim. But Goy just touched it. Not necessarily poured it out, but a Goy just touched it. It may just be more of a stam yenam type issue as opposed to actual yayin nesach. Okay? Hajar lach damanida, hajar lach damanida, hajar lach damanida. Now we start the eighth paragraph, the short paragraph, we talked about all the halachas of ksamim. Before we get into it, I mean, we mentioned a lot about ksamim, but here's where a lot of the halachas come. So we all know that in order for a woman to become a nida on a daraisa level, she has to have a hargasha, a flow of just to feel the flow of blood. Seeing a stain on her clothing is a kesem, but the rabbanim made a takana that a stain does render a woman a nida, and on a derabbanan level. Reasons why Rashi on Daf Nunches tomorrow, he says that the Chazal were concerned that Hargasha had in fact taken place, but the woman failed to actually realize that she felt it. What? No, she felt it, but she doesn't understand what a Hargasha is. That's the idea. That's why we have nowadays also Hargashas. The idea also is that the Tosos says that even if we knew for a fact that there's no Hargasha, Chazal still made this takana, but Tosos doesn't give it an answer. But now, since this is only a din derabanan, there are leniencies that come into play. One of those leniencies is called tlia. It literally means hanging. Just tlia, the ability to be totally the spot of blood on a source other than one that would make the woman tuma. So there's good reason to think that the blood may have come from some place other than from the woman's body, or that the blood came from a part of her body that does not make her tumeya. Maybe she had a cut or something like that. We're lenient and rule that the woman is tahora. We'll see on tomorrow's daf. There's a story of Rabbi Akiva who was totally the kesem on a wound. Okay. Right. So let's read the Mishnah. We'll talk more about Samim in a moment. So haroa kesem al basara. So she sees a kesem on her. She's a bloodstain on her body. So if it's keneged base hatorfa tumeya, v'shelo keneged base hatorfa tahora. If the kesem is keneged or opposite or in a place where you can assume that it could have come from the vaginal area, that's considered tumeya. But if it's shelo keneged hatorfa, like you see it on her back, it's not in a place where it could possibly have come from the vaginal area, then that is tahora. So Gemara Mishnah gives some examples. Al ekeva the al rosh godla tumeya. Al ekeva is I think her ankle, her heel. Okay, on her heel, I guess the Rashi says the Gemara will explain how the blood could get there. I guess the blood could have dripped down.
Cross
the leg. That's what the Gemara is going to say. Okay, cross her leg. Tumeya, al shoka on her thigh. What's the parcel say? What? Her feet. Mi bifnim. If it's in the inner part of the body, that's Tumeya, because it could have come in contact with Oso Makam. But mi bachutz, on the outer part of her leg, it is Tahora. But al atzadin mikan umikan Tahora. On the sides, I guess it's like on the front of the back, that's also Tahora. As long, only time it would be Tumeya is if it's on the inner part. Fine. Rasa al chalukah, that really means her tunic, but I guess her shirt. She finds it on her clothing. So mina chagor ulamata, from the waist or from the belt down, Tumeya. Mina chagor ulamala, from waist up, Tahora. Okay. Rasa al beis yad shel chalukah, if she sees it on the sleeve of this shirt, im magia kinege beis hatarfa, if she could have brought the sleeve, it could have come across a contact from the vaginal area. So Tumeya, the imla tahora. Okay, but if she's wearing this tunic at night, I suppose to so umit kase bo balayla kol makom shnimtzbo kesem Tumeya b'tnei shu choser b'chein b'pulios. Also with a pulios, I don't know what that is. It's some sort of it's a shawl. It's a scarf, I think, that she wears wears at night. So since she wears at night, you toss and turn at night, the possibility exists that any part of the tunic or the shawl or the scarf came across the area, and therefore the blood stain could be from the vaginal area. So Amar Shmuel says, Batka Karka Olam. She goes down and she checks the ground as clean. V'yoshva Aleh. Then she sits on the ground. And then she gets up. Umatza Dam Aleh. And she finds blood where she sat. Tahora. She's Tahora. Why? She didn't feel anything. Shenemar Bibsara Ad Shetargish Bibsara. She has to feel it. So she didn't feel anything come out, like you said. She's Tahora. I have meaning right now that Shmuel is saying this din even on the Rabbanan level. But eventually we know that Mid Rabbanan, she's gonna be Tumeya because of the concept of a Kesem. So Gemara first asks, wait a second, how is Shmuel gonna even learn it out from these words? Because we've learned from the words Bibsara other halachas. So Gemara says, V'hai Bibsara, mi boyle, we learned it out, Shemitam Kibachutz, that she doesn't need to, the blood doesn't have to even come out of her body. She feels the flow from her uterus, and it comes out, and it's still on the inside. She's still Tumeya. So we learned that from Bibsara. So how do you learn Bibsara that you need a Hargasha? So MK, if you're only learning one thing, Lema Krabim Vasar, without Bibsara. My Bibsara, Shema Amina Ad Shetargish Bibsara, until she actually feels it in her meat, in her body. V'akatim Yibayilei Bibsara, below B'shvir, below B'chaticha. That can't be a shafir, can't be a piece that comes out. It has to be a flow. The tarti shemamino. We can learn both from that pasuk. I guess the Rishonim deal with that. How you can learn both. The tashma. Now we're gonna bring kashas on Shmuel. Shmuel again basically said if there's no hargasha, there's no tumah. Period. No hargasha, no tumah. Now we're gonna bring a bunch of three or four rayas, potential rayas against Shmuel. So tashma. Now these are cases that are known as masked hargashas that we're worried about. We're worried about is that the woman did feel it, but for some reason it was mess. We have a case of where she did a bedika, where she urinated, where she had bia. So something may have hidden the hargasha, and therefore we have to be concerned that there was a hargasha, there was a flow. So Aisha shehi oset tzarcha, so she's going to the bathroom, she's urinating. The Ras Adam, and she sees blood. Rabbi Meir says, imo medes, if she urinated while she was standing, Tumeya, she's Tumeya. Vim Yosheves, but if she was sitting, Tahora. Okay, so what's the case? So if the Omedes means that she probably didn't have the opportunity, she had to go so badly, she couldn't even sit down. So the words are worried. In that case, she's Tumeya, if she sees blood, but if she's sitting, she's Tahora. So Mara asks, Hei Chidami, what's the case? Ida Argasha, if she felt blood coming out, if she felt the flow, Yosheves Amai Tahora. So why is she Tahora if she sat down? If she knew your name was sitting, she saw blood and had Argasha. Elalav, Dilo Argasha, must be that she didn't have a feeling. The Katani, in our Mishnah says, Ina Argasha Yeshevas, Amai Tahora, Elav the Argasha. Dilo Argasha, she did not have a Hargasha. The Katani, yet the Brisa said, Omedes Tumeya. So she didn't have a Hargasha, yet she urinated and she saw blood while urinating standing, she's Tumeya. So that's a question on Shmuel, because there was no Hargasha. So the Gemara says, no, La Olam the Argasha. There was a Hargasha. The Amar, and she thought, Hargashas Meiraglayim he. So she thought it was just the feeling of the Meiraglayim, of the urination. It masked the Hargasha of the blood, right? The Emer Hargash Meiraglayim he. So the Omedes Hadormi Raglayim Lamakur Vaisidam Vyoshevis Tahora. So she has this masked Hargasha. So the idea is that Rashi says, Omedes Temeo, Rashi says, the Aidi the Dachik La Alma de Mu'umed Hishtina, she was so had to go to the soap so badly that she couldn't sit down. She was standing below Yochel Atzor Hador Meiraglayim Lamakur Vaisudam. Next lecture, how this, I mean. Physiologic. No, it had Hargasha, just it was masked. She had to go so badly, and there, so she didn't feel the fact that the urine went back up into the uterus and then came back down with blood. Physiologically, that doesn't have, that's not how it works. The urinary tract and the blood tract are not the same. They're not connected. The Gemara, that's what they, I guess that's what their assumption was. But when she's sitting, Rashi says, Yoshevus Tahora, because you don't, if you're just sitting down regularly to urinate, there's no blood. Rashi says, the Makah Yeshla must have come from a wound. The Makah Meiraglayim, she ain't Derek Dam Nidah, let's say it's in Meiraglayim. Because Dam Nidah doesn't typically come out in your urine. That point is correct, I think. You don't, Dam Nidah doesn't come from the urine. I guess if you have a wound in your urinary tract, you have an infection in your urinary tract, you can have blood. So that's the thing. If you're sitting, it's Tahora. But the idea was that there was a Hargasha when she was standing, and it was just masked by the pain or the feeling, the sensation of the urine. The Tashma, another Kasha on Shmuel. Age so she has some sort of sudden or some sort of cloth that she used to check herself, so it's under the pillow. Vinimtsa alav dam, and you find on it blood. Im ogol, if it's circular, then tahor. Im masruch, but if it's more oblong, I guess if it's long, maybe more of an oval shape, then it's tame. So Gemara says so hechidami, right? Rashi says ogol ein zed dam bedika the derech kinuach liot masruch. When you do a bedika with a cloth, you're not going to get a perfect circle. More of like a louse bite that would be a circle. So heichidami, ida argishi. If she had a hargasha, agul amai tahar. So who cares if it's circle? She had a hargasha. She's blood done. Elala the low argishi. She did not have a hargasha. Nevertheless, she did have a hargasha. Viktani mashuk tame. And if you see that it's long, it's tame. So she had no hargasha. She sees blood in a certain way. She's still tmeya. It goes against Shmuel. Says that there's no hargasha. There's no tuma. So it goes, lo, lo, olam, da, argashi. There is a hargasha. The emor, hargashas, hargashas, mashach, vadim, gufa, asa, agal, tar. No, there was definitely a hargasha, but she was checking herself. So maybe while checking, doing an internal check, that masked the feeling of the hargasha. So if it comes out, right, if it, Rashi says, the argashi, b'shas, b'dika, the agal, la, hachi, tar, la, olam, the emor, hargashas, eid, hu, have, shetziarsa, b'dika, sa, eid. When it comes, if it comes out, ugle, if it comes out long, so it definitely came from her body. But ugle, it's tar because maybe she just kind of wounded herself with it. It's not gonna, like we said, if you're checking yourself, a wipe, it's not going to come out circular. But the case is here, the reason why there's tumea in the other case, if she did have argasha, it was just masked by the bedika. So tashma, another case. Nimtza al shalo, right, they had bia, and after bia, they find blood al shalo. They find on his what he checks with. So tamein the chayav and bekarban. So they're both that they did it for shogeg. So they're both nida the chayav and they have to bring a karban. Nimsa al shalo. He finds it on her what she checks with. So etiom if you find it immediately tamein the chayav and bekarban. Nimsa al shalo la achras man. But only after a certain amount of time passed tamein misafik upturim in a karban. Now they'll be cut part from the karban. So Gemara asks. So hechidami. What's the case? Ida argishe, if she had her gasha, la'achas mana, my peturim in a carbon. If she had her gasha, right, so who cares if they found it later? She had her gasha, and a couple moments later she sees the blood, well, she had her gasha, so there should be tumah, there should be chayav carbon. Elalav lo argishe, she must not have had her gasha. The katani, and the brisa says, or the mishnah says, nimsa al shala et yom tumein, v'chayav in b'carbon. So she had no her gasha, and nevertheless, if she finds it on her aid immediately, there is a on his aid one thing. Find it, she has no hargasha. Finds it on her what she's checking with. So tamein. Well, why? She had no hargasha. According to Yishmael, there's no hargasha. There's no tumah. So Gemara says no. Lo olam da argishay. Because maybe there was hargasha. Me'ema hargasha shamish hava. It was masked, but she thought it was the hargasha from the bia. That the bia itself was what it covered up. She thought it was from the bia. Really, it's the hargasha from the uterus. And that's why she would be Tmeya if she sees it on her aid right away. Okay, another question. Tashma, Nimsos Ata Omer. Brisa says, if I come to see Gimel Svekos Beisha, there are three Svekos when it comes to, the Ketamim of a woman. Albasara, if it's on her body, Safek Tame, Safek Tahor Tame. If it's Safek, whether it's Tame or if it's Tahor, if it's on her body, we say it's Tame. Akaluka, on her clothing, Safek Tame, Safek Tahor is Tahor. And by Uvimaga Os, Uvehistatos, on things that she touched, or things that she moved, Holich Achar Rov. You go according to the Rov. What does that mean? My Holich Achar Rov. Lav im Rov Yomea Tmein, Tmeya, the Alpha Gav Delo Argusha. Is that talking about a case where Rashi explains that it's a woman who's, she most of her time she sees blood. So, most of the time she sees blood, we're going to assume that when she touched the Tmeyos, when she touched the Tahoros and she moved them, that they're Tmeya. So, but isn't it talking about a case without Hargashas? So, it's not low in Rov Yomea Behargasha. So Chazia Tmeya de Ema Argasha below Adata. It's Rov Yomea Behargasha, Chazia Tmeya de Ema Argasha below Adata. She had Hargasha, but she just didn't feel it. She didn't, for whatever reason, she didn't feel it. Amar Mar, the Brisa said, Al Bistara, if you see the stain on her body, Safek Tame, Safek Tahor, Tame. Al Chaluka, Safek Tame, Safek Tahor, Tahor. So, Hei Chidami, what's the case? So, Imi Chagor Ulumata, if it's from like the waist down, on her Chaluka, Al Chaluka, on my Tahor. So, why is it Tahor on Chaluka? The Hatana, we had our Mishnah said, Min Chagor Ulumata Tame. From waist down, you see the blood, it's Tame. And imi chagur lamala al basara my tame. If it's on the waist, if it's on her body, waist up, why is that considered tameya? Did our brisa say v'hatan ras al basara shalok and egbeis her tofa tahora? So what's going on? What's going on? If it's on her body above the waist, our mishnah said that it's not. It's tahora. So ibais ema mi chagur lamata. You can either set the case up as being that it was found waist down, ibais neim mi chagur lamala, or you can even set the case up where it was found waist up or above the waist. I know what happens to the waist, right? Michagru lamata and michagru lamala. So it's adri ad v'chlal, ad v'lo v'chlal. What's the story with the waist itself? But ibais emo, you can learn that michagru lamata, talking about below the belt line. Can go and what's the case? She avra b'shuk shel tabachim. She walked through the butcher shop. There's a lot of blood in the butcher shop. So I guess they didn't do a DNA analysis to check it out whether or not it's human blood or blood from the animal carcasses. But al b'sara, so she walked through the butcher shop. Al bisura, if it's on her body, which means it's underneath the clothing, so migupa asya, it's on, then it must come from her body. The iwai alma asya, because if it came from the butcher shop itself, al chaluka mibayle, it should have been on her clothing also, right? Al chaluka mibayle, ishtakuke al chaluka. But if you find it on the clothing and not on her body, then we say may alma asya. It came from the outside. Dimigufa asa abasari bailesh tekuche. You should have found it on her body. So the ibais emar, we're talking about a case where you found the blood bichagru lamala. Talking about bichagru lamala. Kegon the askara. Rashi says the askara. Rashi says zakva asmal achorel. She leaned back. The apa gav the avra b'shuk shel tabachim tmeyan. She leaned back somehow, and she also passed through the butcher shop. Chaluka yibayi lei lishduchin. If it's coming from the outside, it should have been on her chaluka. So
her head's
she flipped over.
Yeah, the butcher
stuff. So she's walking on her hands.
Walked through the shop, on the butcher stuff,
on her hands. She's a shota also. Right? That's what it is. The Olympics are coming up, so she had the. That's what it is. So the Asga. So al basara, so if it's on her body, vade megufa asa, it definitely came from, so that's why it's for chaluka lamala. So if it's on her body, so it definitely came from her body. Dime alma asa, because if it came from outside, al chaluka yiboy leish tukuche. It should have been on the chaluka as well. Right, al chaluka, if she finds on the chaluka, then she's tahora. Me alma asa, the imegufa asa, al basara yiboy leish tukuche. It should have been on her body as well. Okay, but katani miyas, but nevertheless, what does the Bryce to say? Right, well, the Mishnah said that if you find it on the shirt, it could be that her shirt passed across the vaginal area and that's where the blood came from. If you're walking through a butcher shop, maybe that was only a little bit of a stain, and she passed across the area, that's where the blood went, as opposed to on her body. But over here, since we have a Kliya, So if you have a tliya, you could be matliya on the other itu. I'm not going to say anything halacha lemaisa because these are questions that you definitely have to ask your local competent orthodox halachic posek to determine whether or not it's a kesem or not. The shailas about the size of the kesem, about the color of the kesem, about what you find the kesem on. So those are maybe we'll read a little bit from Rabbi Soloveitchik's book. Maybe I'll read a little bit if you have time. Well, we probably should have time. But katani milas, nevertheless, the brisa says al basara if it's found on her body. Sapek tameh, tameh. We say it's tameh. Be avagav lo hirgisha. Doesn't say that she has a hirgisha. It's a kash on Shmuel. Well, otzan, and also our Mishnah itself says haroa kesem al basara kinega base her tarfa tameya. She sees a kesem on her body next near the vaginal area tameya. Be avagav lo hirgisha. Even if she didn't feel it. So amar Rav Yirmiyahu midifti modes Shmuel shehi tameya midrabanan. Shmuel, all these cases are kesem cases. That's a tumah derabanan. Shmuel agrees to that. Shmuel's case is, but the fact that she's tahora, we always start at the beginning of the Gemara, was armor Shmuel baka karka olam biyashmalel matzadamalev tahora. That's on the derabanan level because there was no hargasha. If she has no hargasha and there's a kesem, Shmuel agrees it's still did the rabbanan of summon, and therefore she be tumah midrabanan. Rashi says dilma argasha v'lodat because the subject is maybe, which we mentioned in the introduction, maybe she felt it, maybe she did feel it. But she didn't know what it was. So Rav Ashi gives a different answer. Rav Ashi Amar Shmuel, who the Amar Kirav Nechemia. Shmuel holds like Nechemia. Rashi writes with the Tanan, Rav Nechemia Omer, we'll see on tomorrow's daf, or Amud Beis on tomorrow's daf, Rav Nechemia Omer, kol davar she'enu mekabel tuma, enu mekabel ksamim. If the kesem is found on anything that cannot be mekabel tuma, the kesem itself is not tame. And Tosos explains, taima de Rav Nechemia, kevon de davar she'kesem bo tahor, since the item the kesem fell on is tahor, gamal isha lo gazru tuma. So too on the woman, there is no tumah. So you ask for a case later on, it deals with that there is a different type of tumah over there. The idea being is that if you find it on something that's not a kabbal tumah, that shaila always comes up. Now if you find the kesem on the toilet bowl itself, the toilet bowl we say is connected to the karka, so maybe and karka cannot become tumah, have a tummy. Find the kesem on. But then there's a shaila, if the toilet bowl, I'm sorry, Mr. Lossi breaks down, toilet bowl in an airplane is not makubal karka. That may be different. Also, he brings down about, you know, tissues and toilet paper. So those makabal tuma. The toilet seat may be different because it's not makubal karka. You could pull it off. It depends. I guess it depends, if they ask the posik, whether that's considered connected or not, if it's one piece or not. He brings that about the toilet bowl itself, so the toilet seat may be different. What? Well, that's also because it comes from urination. The class really gives that. Right. So he says this leniency is evoked, for example, in cases where a kesem is found on the ground, which cannot become impure. This would extend even to a kesem found on a toilet, since the toilet is considered to be connected to the ground. It stands like the ground itself, and it cannot become ritually impure. A kesem found on a stair near a toilet is therefore not a problem. However, a toilet bowl on an airplane is not connected to the ground and is therefore potentially subject to impurity and by extension the rules of ksamim. A significant percentage of ksamim are found on toilet paper tissues, posing the critical question of whether or not paper is subject to ritual impurity. Some of... Sorry? No, it's still connected to the ground. It's still connected to the ground. Right. Some machronim assert that since paper is made out of rags, it may have come from a cloth which would be subject to tumah. That's a pisvei tshuva. Paper itself would therefore be capable of coming tumah, and this leniency would not apply. But others describe paper as coming from trees and thus not susceptible to impurity. There have been different ways of producing paper throughout history, thereby contributing to the different approaches to this question. He then quotes Rav Moshe in Yoredeya Gimel Simon Nun Gimel and Yoredeya Dalit Simon Yud Zion, right? Rosha Feinstein writes that this whole debate is inapplicable to the contemporary situation because disposable items cannot become ritually impure. Although paper was once reusable, tissues and toilet paper nowadays are certainly disposable and therefore cannot become tame. Similarly, if a woman finds a kesem on a sanitary pad, she remains tahor according to this reasoning. However, a woman who finds a significant amount of blood on a pad or on a toilet paper may have to be concerned that this flow is equivalent of a hargasha, which would then pose a problem on a deraisa level. Right, although some poskim are less inclined to be lenient regarding toilet paper, a lenient attitude toward this issue is legitimate and consistent with the rabbinical character of the decree of ksamim, which indicates a lenient approach to most issues in the area. He then talks about synthetic materials. those pose another issue as whether or not they're makabel tum or not. It's the whole idea of whether they're makabel tum or not. Then there's a question of ksamim that are found. I mean, we'll learn it throughout the parak. Ksamim are found on colored clothing or things like that. But let's just finish up the Gemara. So you say that Shmuel holds like Rav Nechemya. He holds like Rav Nechemya. He says that if it's not on something that's makabel tuma, therefore it's not a kasim. And therefore, what was Shmuel's case? It was on the karka. Shmuel said he found it on the karka. So Rashi says, Taima the Shmuel the Amr El Butka Karka Olam. Lav Mishum Harkasha El Krav Nechemya Shvilei. The Amr Lowis Kirchom Xavier's Kesem El Al Dover Kabal Tuma. Hilka Kol Hanach Tayuta Lav Kashaninu. Till Shmuel Lo Ayri Be Harkasha Klal. Shmuel's not talking about Harkashas or anything like that. He's talking about the fact that it was on the karka. That's something that's not with Kabal Tuma. Forget Harkashas. You wore all these kashas on Harkashas? Shmuel's talking about that. The Kesem was found on the karka. Karka's not with Kabal Tuma. So there's no issue with that. Then the Gemara, just to finish the Gemara to the two dots. So the Gemara says, so Bishmul Ravashi said that Shmuel is holding like Rav Nechemya, Hainu Dika Amar Karka. I understand why Shmuel's case is Dafka by Karka, because that is talking about, that's imperative to his decision. That's talking about Karka, something that's not Mekabel Tuma. El Rav Yirmiya, right, Rav Yirmiya, who holds, that Rav Shmuel holds, that's Tuma de Rabbanon, so my ear Karka. So why is Shmuel talking about a Karka? Afil Glima Nami Lomi Bayi. So if we'll Glima Nami, even if it's on a Glima, which is what, like a cloth? What?
A garment,
right? What do you need to check only on karka? If there's no hargasha, the whole issue is hargasha. Why is Shmuel bringing the case about karka? You can bring on a piece of clothing also. It can be on anything if the issue is about hargasha. So the Gemara says, glima delo mivdak shapir, a glima that cannot be checked so carefully. The ikal lemeimer me alma asa el afilu karka de mivdak shapir. A glima, I guess you can say that it can't be checked so well because you can't check the folds or the creases. So maybe you can say that that came from somewhere else. But his finish is by a karka, which you sit down on a chair, on a stone or something on the ground. You can check and see that nothing's there. Even in that case, Shmuel is going to say that there was no hargasha. We can clearly indicate that she is not tame on a doraisa level. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll pick up again tomorrow. Have a good day.